Welcome to the Are Your Hands Full podcast, a step-by-step parenting podcast for your Jewish family. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Please check out the most recent Are Your Hands Full download at www.handsfullchinuch.com. That's handsfullchinuch.com. Behavior Management Hotline for Parents of Children with Special Needs, put together by Nish Hosseini. I can already see, just by the questions that I'm getting, that the group that is listening to this hotline is a deep-thinking group. This is not surprising me, because just as the experience of raising my Rachi morphed me into an entirely different person that I otherwise likely would have been, you too are already showing signs of being able to ask questions that are on a higher level than average. So yasha koyach for that, and may you all continue to use this collective experience solely for the purpose of growth. Once again, I'd like to remind you that I am addressing the questions in the order that they were received. So hang in there, I will get to yours as well, Emirtzah Hashem. So here's the question. This caller stated her question extremely eloquently. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it justice, but I'm really going to try because it's such an important question. Here it is in a nutshell. I am a parent of two children with special needs, she said. One is developing more typically than the other, but each one has special needs. I am the type of mother who runs for extra therapy sessions, and I do try to do more for my kids. But I am getting instructions from the doctors that I should make it easier for my child. I should not make it hard for her. I should not push her because it's not going to help her anyway. And I know that they're not right because they also told me that my child will never get off a feeding tube, and she did. So can you explain more about what these doctors mean when they say that I shouldn't push this child past her comfort level? Then she continued, I have another question about my child who is developing more normally. He woke up one morning and said he wanted to eat. I told him that first we are going to get dressed and then we will eat. He started tantruming and crying, and I just kept repeating myself and saying, first we get dressed and then we eat. He cried for about 20 minutes and then he came to me and said that he was ready to get dressed. Did I do wrong? Was I demanding too much for this age? And for his disability, is it wrong to let him cry? Then she continued and said, what is going on today? I'm getting a lot of attitude from other parents and even friends that I need to accept my children for who they are. I'm being told that it is okay for these children to have special needs and there is no need to push them and make them unhappy. After all, this is how Hashem made them, right? And I certainly should not ruin my life, especially if it's not going to help anyway. Wow. Heavy question. Excellent, excellent question. Took me 40 years to answer this question. Okay, so here we go. First, I'm going to answer the question about the little boy who wanted to eat first. So I'm going to tell you, you did beautifully. You did not change your mind because of the tantrum. You stood behind your word and thereby taught your child not only to tolerate when things don't go his way, you also taught him that he can survive it. And he can be fine anyway. Your statement of first we get dressed and then we eat is known as a mission statement. You might have read about it in my program, in the Hands Full program. A mission statement must be 10 words or less and may not contain the word you or your. So if you said, first we get dressed and then we eat, that's 8 words, and there's no you or your in that statement. In general, mission statements can be repeated about once every 5 minutes for a young child. I'm not sure how many times you repeated your mission, and whether the fact that you repeated it many times lengthened the tantrum, caused it to go longer, because when you talk during a tantrum, the tantrum gets fed. That's possible. But either way, you handed your son an absolutely wonderful gift. You taught him that he could be fine even if he doesn't have what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants it. This lesson is probably the most significant lesson a person will need throughout their lifetime. Because each and every one of us is going to exist on this world for 120 years, Bezin Hashem. And let's say that 50% of the time things go the way we want and 50% of the time they don't. And if we can only be okay when things go the way we want, then we can only be okay half our lives. But if we can be okay even when things don't go the way we want, then we can be okay all our lives. Now think of it this way. Our children with special needs need to live on this planet regardless of whether we like their disabilities or not, regardless of whether they make it to the mainstream or not, regardless of whether we are able to shelter them or not. Either way, they have to live in this world. So they must also learn this skill because this is the metzias of the world upon which they also have to live. So you did a great job by exposing your child to having to handle when things didn't go his way through a minor episode that wasn't so painful. In this way, your child will be prepared to handle life regardless of what Hashem decides he should have to handle, may it only be good. And from the way you describe your son, he appears to have sufficient cognition to regulate himself after a tantrum. So the more tantrums he has, and the more consistent you remain, the more well-adjusted a human being he will become. As I move forward in this series, I will teach you more about tantrums. But in the meantime, in your case only, I can't vouch for others at this time, feel free to say no when he's asking for something that you're not ready to comply. Let the tantrum go with as little talking as possible. Note that with children who are normally developing, there's absolutely no talking during tantrums. The reason for this is the assumption that children who are developing normally have the cognition to connect the dots and regulate themselves without your help. Because I don't know your son, I'm encouraging you to figure out on your own if you even need to provide extra mission statements throughout the tantrum. It could be that you don't. I'm sure that the next time a tantrum occurs, and the more the merrier at this age as far as I'm concerned, you will get a better idea of how frequently a mission statement needs to be said, if at all. So Hatzlacha Rabba figuring this out, and feel free to send me more messages if you have additional information or questions. So now let's head over to your other more serious question. What is it that's going on today? By the way, it's not just today. I know you're experiencing it today. Why am I getting this attitude, you ask? Why do people feel that a child with special needs should never have to work past comfort level? I must tell you that you're asking such an excellent question. This is the same question I've been asking myself for 40 years. Over the years, after giving this a tremendous amount of thought, I've arrived at the following. In general, most people, whether consciously or subconsciously, live with the mentality that it only makes sense to work on a project if the result is worth the effort. And indeed, that's how the world works. If I go to a job interview and they offer me a low hourly level of income, then I might decide that the result, which is the pay in this case, is not worth the effort. We all make decisions this way all the time. We shoot forward and scan the projected result before we decide whether to invest in something, whether it's with money, a job, or any project. In addition, the world operates under the assumption that it is only the completion of a project that makes the project worth engaging in. So I'm not going to open a business unless I have reason to believe that it will be successful and I plan on opening its doors. Or I'm not going to build a building unless I'm reasonably sure I can finish the building all the way to the last detail. And sadly, the world places human beings into this category as well. We, on the other hand, don't place human beings in this category. In our world, A human being is a piece of Hashem, created by Hashem. Each human being is made out of the same stuff, regardless of what the guf looks like. We all come from the same place, so no matter what casing Hashem gives each person, the inner core is the same and deserves the same opportunities. And neshama growth is not about all or nothing. Let me ask you, if I, by mistake, turn on a light on Shabbos, do I say, that's it, I'm not keeping the rest of Shabbos because I blew it? No, I keep the rest of Shabbos. Of course I do, even though I messed up. We don't believe that we keep a perfect Shabbos or no Shabbos at all. We all know that the best we can do is the best. And it's all about our destination and growth factor. In spite of this, people have different opinions about how much effort should be plowed into children with special needs. Obviously, each of you needs to make your own decision together with Das Torah. This decision takes into account a myriad of demographics and backgrounds that makes it impossible to compare one situation to another. Our caller, and many other parents like her, are willing to expend effort on these children even though they are not Nevi'im and they have no guarantee of the results. They're willing to give it a try just for the sake of trying, not for the result that may or may not arrive. They understand that they may have to face failure, but are willing to take that chance. They understand that the trying itself feeds a certain need inside of them. I believe that these parents should be applauded, not discouraged. If they choose to shoot out into the dark and give a particular method a shot, even though they were promised that their child cannot master that skill, there is something about that process that is beneficial for both that parent and that child. And yes, if your child, in the process of getting this extra therapy, might need to cry or become frustrated at times, that's okay. This is a normal part of growth, which is good for any human being. So here are some practical suggestions taken from all the years that I tried one thing after another and dealt with everybody's comments and attitudes. Number one, never try a technique or strategy for more than 3 months unless you see even a tiny bit of progress. If you see absolutely nothing, and it's happened to me, it's time to reconsider. Most likely, if you're onto a good method, you will see even the tiniest bit of progress within 3 months. That was a good barometer that I used over all the years. Number two, here's another one. Don't advertise what you're doing, which method, which therapist, where you're going, how often. If you do that, it just opens you up to vulnerability because someone is going to discourage you from what you've done, and that's painful and counterproductive. Remember, what didn't work for someone else might just work for you. Number three. Remember that human beings have absolutely no control over the destiny of your child, no matter how many letters they have after their name, and no matter how many diplomas hang on their walls. Tell this to yourself every single day. There is but one Rofe Cholim above, and he can do whatever he wants. Number four, you might have had the experience where some dire prediction that was made by some professional proved wrong. Our caller today mentioned that she was told her child will never get off a feeding tube, and the child did. I'd like to take this opportunity to label the word never as a piece of apikarsis. If you think about the meaning of the word never, or if you look it up in the dictionary, you get a definition that looks like this: at no time in the past or future, on no occasion, not ever. This word cannot be true because our huge Ribbono Shel Olam can do anything. So words like never and impossible should be struck from our vocabulary. Number five, if you are one of the lucky ones whose child broke through and defied a professional's predictions, then you likely lost all trust in medical professionals, especially when they decide that they're Nevi'im. This attitude will help you focus on the process of working with your child rather than the result, because the result is completely not in our hands anyway. Number six, don't attempt to show off the progress that you've seen your child make. All children do not display their skills on demand. They never show off, and children with special needs are no different. I obviously learned this lesson the hard way. And one day, when Rachi was about 8 years old, I took it upon myself never, ever, ever to try to tell somebody what she's accomplished. I kept moving forward with her therapy, and I waited patiently until the results became evident on their own. This avoids a huge amount of frustration and pain, which leads to self-doubt. All of this is unnecessary. Number seven, remember the rule that if your child did it once, he or she will do it again. Here's an example. My Rachi did not speak until she was 8 years old. She understood and lip-read a bit of language, but she couldn't use her voice on demand, and she couldn't produce words. Then, one day, during a therapy session, she said the word mommy. I obviously will never, ever forget that moment. I could just cry now thinking of it. But get this. She didn't say another single word, including the word mommy, until 6 months later. During those 6 months, you can imagine how many times I doubted myself whether she even said it. If not for the fact that her therapist had heard it as well, I would for sure think I was hallucinating or dreaming. But her therapist, Adele, used to tell me over and over and over again, if she did it once, she will do it again. If she did it once, she will do it again. Once the brain has done it once, it will happen again. And Baruch Hashem, it did. Number eight, trust yourself. You were chosen from above to take care of this special neshama. You have the know-how. You have the skills. And above all else, deep inside you, you know what's right. I'm going to sign off now, applauding you all. Keep those questions coming and have a wonderful week. Thanks for listening to my podcast. My name is Dr. S. Yaroslavitz, and I am the director of Hands Full, which is committed to the provision of community education in the area of behavior management and cognitive development of children. I look forward to hearing from you with any questions that you have. And remember, no matter how impossible things may seem, the Earth will continue rotating on its axis.